into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
And then he got the side eye from his co-anchor. Welcome to Grey's Anatomy After Buzz Show. This is season 11, episode 6, of course. I'm Julie Parton.
Hi, Julie. I'm Star Session, everyone.
Hey, guys. I'm Kristen Strange.
And we know that you guys have been like, where's so-and-so? Where's everybody else? There's been some fluctuations in hosts this season.
There has been.
And we'll get back to normal. We've just been hit some opportunities lately, and so we're expanding our horizon.
Should we touch on what's going on, or what's going to be happening next? Or?
Sure, go for it, girl.
Okay, so Jason will be back next week, and then we have Kristen, who is going to be our new host, and we'll be filling in for Kelly, who is not with us anymore, and we're sad to say that, but we wanted to keep you guys in the know, so Kelly will, you know, she'll still be on Twitter and chiming in, I'm sure. But yeah, we're really excited to have a new group, and next week Jason will be here, and we'll all be entire Grey's Anatomy gang once again.
I know. I can't even express how much I'm going to miss Kelly. And she is following up on some fantastic new career opportunities in Austin and some family stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? So you're going to have to take up the baton and really psychoanalyze each character and storyline.
I think that I'm going to have to enroll in some psychology classes.
It's the only way you're going to live up to Kelly's status.
Grey's, psych on Grey's Anatomy.
Love.
So tonight's episode was so strange to me. Did it feel PSA-y or a little melodramatic? Just like the black and white flashy forwardies.
Yeah, the editing was a little different than we're used to. They were flashing forward versus like flashing back a lot, which was interesting.
A little bit of soap opera acting, I felt like.
And every time the conversations happened, there was just these soft piano tunes.
There was weird music.
I'm not saying it was a bad episode. I'm saying it fell out of sync with the normal show.
Right. Especially with the season. Mm-hmm. As it's been, it was kind of a strange choice in music and
well, let's get into what we liked, what we didn't like. Okay. First of all, April Kepner, I thought it was going to be a Kepner-centric episode. That's what it seemed like at the beginning. Kepner. And it wasn't. They sort of just dropped off right at the beginning.
Right.
But her mother was in town.
I love her mom. She's she's so southern, and she's so excited to be there. It's just really nice.
And I knew from the very minute that she was on scene that she is Mrs. Torkelson.
Torkelson? What is that?
That was a TV show that I used to watch as a kid, and I'm sure there's those of you out there that watched it too. She was just this single mom with several kids.
Was this like a Nickelodeon show?
It was a family show. I'm not even sure what station it was, but it was a good 15, 20 years ago.
Wow. Well, she is back to, I don't know,
she was very
revive
cute.
Her acting career.
Great as April's mom, I thought.
Yeah.
I totally didn't think that she looked like a grandma yet, though. It's like, man.
Yeah, that's most grandmas. You should see my mom.
She's
she
a
looks
grandma.
Amazing.
I love that.
But yeah, it was funny because Avery was all into her.
Yeah. I loved that part, that storyline. I loved it. I loved Avery stepping up and getting to hang out with April's mom, because I feel like a lot of guys wouldn't do that. And
I feel like a lot of guys in the situation,
especially shopping for baby stuff,
would. They would want to suck up to the mother-in-law.
Fair. Yeah.
I mean, my husband, God bless his heart, is the best husband in the world. You just do. You just do.
You
suck up to the mother-in-law.
Would he hang out with her by himself, though? Like, go baby shop?
Absolutely.
Really?
The two of them have very deep theological conversations together. That's where they hit it off.
Right?
Absolutely.
I love when my fiancé and my mom are, like, just having their moments. And they're like, we're talking here. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Didn't mean to butt in.
But we're baby shopping here? That's a little weird.
No, it was fun. I mean, he completely explained why he was so gung-ho about it, but at first, it seemed like, oh, honey, I will be there for you, and I will go and spend time with your mom for you. You know, I felt like he was being the good husband that was, like, stepping up for his wife, who is stressed and hormonal and, you know, stressed out
so
his mom's
So how far along
there.
Is she supposed to be on the show?
We don't do that anymore.
I know, because it's so confusing because she's expecting in real life as
Let's
well.
Let's just say, like, 2 to 6 months.
No, well, we can't say two because people know. And usually you don't say in the first trimester.
Three to 6 months.
In real life, now, I think she's about 32 or something like
What's that mean?
Like, she's close. She's 7 months. So I think on the show, she's got to be mid-second trimester, which it's weird that her mom... I do see her side. Mom comes in town, takes over a baby room decorating, especially by buying those ugly... Decals.
You are not filling the decals.
Are you kidding me? Even when I saw the finished product and I saw the decals in there, I'm like, really, Mama?
Yeah.
There are a billion decals in the world, and you choose those from the airport?
I love that.
Get those out of the baby room.
I thought it was cute. She just didn't lay it out nice enough. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just kind of scattered. And
it was, okay, so it was, not feeling it was weird. She just came in town and took over baby room.
I feel like it wasn't a coordinating nursery. It was just about all this stuff for babies. Just throw it around.
They're definitely in the middle of it, and she comes in, Kepner comes in and is throwing a hissy fit, you know, saying that she basically flat out said, Mom, I don't want you to be here. Like, so don't sad. You understand? And I don't know if that was hormonal. I don't get where her rage came from. It came out of nowhere a little bit. Couldn't tell if it was because she wanted to decorate it herself or Mom was stepping over. I mean, it got explained, but in the end, I'm like,
I think that's the point, Star. She didn't even have a reason for rage. It was just coming out of her for no reason. And her mom was doing, for the most part, reasonable things.
Yeah.
Like, I can't hang out with you. Oh, I have dinner. Well, why did you make dinner? I didn't even shop. Like, calm down, April.
Yeah, it got a little ridiculous, but what I would have to say is that that crib.
Awful.
The green and yellow crib. I mean, I can see the significance of it. It would be cute in the end, but that was a tacky crib.
She's like, I love the fact that it's been in our family for generations, but I wanted one of those that converts to a toddler bed that eventually converts to a child bed, and this ain't it, Mom.
This is not the one. We need up to date.
This isn't the best. I want Pottery Barn kids up in here. Only the best for my little Avery.
If I was her, though, and my mom came in, bought everything for my baby's nursery and kind of took that whole project over. That's sad, because that's something you want to be a part of, right?
Exactly.
It's sad. Okay, so it's appropriate for her to be mad at her mom for overstepping her bounds.
But the whole dinner
thing. But it was, she was just rude from her from the get-go.
Yeah.
And it turns out, I guess, Avery called her.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
I don't know. It seems
he's nervous.
But they're not even that far along the pregnancy for him to feel that way.
Well, the story had a little bit of a hole there. We haven't talked about them all season, basically.
Yeah, that's
We haven't jumped into this, so we don't know that they haven't been planning for the wedding. I meant for the baby shower, the baby coming. You know what I mean? So we didn't get to plan this, and we just kind of jumped into, like, now they don't have anything for their nursery, but she seems a little too early in her pregnancy to even need to have anything for her
For him
nursery.
To be freaking out about it, right? too.
I have been missing their story, though, from the episodes. I liked, you know, that we learned about Maggie and everything, but I feel like we lost everything from them this whole season. So I like that at least we got some.
That's true.
It was very much about them last season.
Yeah, and, that's true.
And I do feel like you guys hit on a great point there. It was really all of this conflict, like, is there a God, isn't there a God? I know there's a God, I know there's not. Well, don't worry about our children, we're having a baby.
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything since.
And then months later, it's a completely different storyline. They really should have been keeping us updated on what was going on with them.
That's true. But I feel like what happened to Calzona last week, I feel like the writers, and I said it on YouTube to some of the fans out there, is that I feel like the writers know what they're doing. They know they want to build up these two characters. Then they're like, people are kind of speaking out on the Twitterverse or out there in the world, and they're saying, like, that storyline is getting old, so then they divert. I feel like the writers are listening to us, and then they make us not like Calzona, and make us not like, you know, Kepner.
I just feel they have very smart writers. They strategically know how to make us hate and love certain people at certain times.
And so I feel like at the end of the whole Kepner and them, we were kind of over and like overload, and we were kind of over that storyline, you know? So now I feel like now that we're jumping back into it, it's light, it's fresh, it's something new, and we probably won't even go back to those old storylines.
Also, she's the cutest pregnant person.
Like, isn't she adorable? She's just that cute of a person in general.
Yeah.
She's like a spark of adorable.
Her waddle is adorable. She's so sweet. Like, it's all adorable.
But I was going to say, one thing that I've always loved about Shonda shows is that she fully makes the characters who they are, whether she thinks the audience will respond to them or not.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're annoying. They're ambitious. They're in your face. They are who they are, and that's what makes them seem really real to me.
That's true.
Yeah, like Alex, he's a jerk, but I still love him. Yeah. He's always a jerk.
And it's not like they even choose the anti-hero like so many shows have these days. It's not even that. It's just on this gray area of spectrum of personalities of people.
I feel like there's a lot of character development that she goes into it. Or, you know, sometimes maybe it's just more organic on who the character is coming into it and how they interpret it.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's different ways that it can be written and different ways that the actors are interpreting it. But I feel like it's in a, on a whole, they did a great job with casting in this show, and they continue to do a great job, even though we had some taboos at the beginning of the season on who we liked and didn't like. I feel like overall they do great casting.
But before we move on from this, I do need to say and make it very clear that the grandmother, daughter, baby, bond moment thing is super special, and I'm glad that they came to a place where April realized that.
Yeah. I'm glad it came to like a full circle.
Yeah. People, I mean, I get it that like grandparents can get in the grill, but think about how many different people don't get that. They don't get their grandparents. The parents either don't want to be involved or they're not alive. Like, it's a huge blessing to get that. So I'm glad she came to that place.
It's all about, like, a grandmother that spoils you, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I want to be spoiled. So.
A grandma that's there.
Yeah. Just like, I want that candy.
It's there
Mommy
for you,
said
Dorothy
no.
Jane. That was her daughter on the Torkelsons.
Oh.
I'm serious. There are other people that are going to know about this. I'm not the only one.
I wonder if it's on Netflix. I can catch up on that.
You're not going to like it. It's not a great show. Maybe if you were a child.
There you go.
Yes. So anyway, there was some fantastic conversation happening last time on YouTube, and I love your guys' opinion. The viewers are smart as us, if not smarter, probably smarter.
Definitely smarter.
And I would love to shout out to some of our loyal family, Grace family, on Twitter.
Okay, let's do it. We have
Gray's Storm,
CD Oliveria 83,
Giselle 1990. Oh, Kelly, I love you, Kelly. I miss you already. CD Big Klana,
Murder for Forever says, I literally cannot wait for this podcast.
DH underscore Lane, Tanja Bombart, yes, always there. Alicia H,
Big Klana 70.
I loved how IMH17 loved that you got your bloody patience.
Gosh, did we? You know what? That's a good idea. Let's go ahead and get into the patients, because I would say these were fair patient stories. None that brought me to tears, but I know you guys invested in some of them emotionally.
I was almost in tears.
So let's talk about it.
The one that you really connected with, you want to give us a quick summary of what happened?
Yeah, there was a young girl who got taken out of her car, and then her car got stolen, and it turns out she had been living out of her car, and she was all banged up, and she turns out she was a veteran, so Hunt has his connection to her, and I almost cried every time he talked to her.
That's really odd. I did not connect with the story, and I was expecting something cooler than she's living in the car.
Yeah.
She was really like in and out of consciousness. Oh, my car! I thought there's a baby in the car, there's drugs in the car, there's something cool in the car, not just my paperwork.
My paperwork.
But it was everything she had. Everything she had, and she was living out of her car, and she was trying to work a job and get back on her feet, but she didn't want to accept any help from, you know, the VA. I don't know. I'm not a veteran, so I didn't connect with it on that level, I guess, but I just felt for her.
I've
also never lived out of my car.
I have lived in my car, and I still thought it was like a strange reveal. Yeah. Joe had this moment where, you know, I used to be a dumpster diver, car liver, and she could see it. She felt it.
Joe. Oh, Joe. Yes, of course.
Yeah, Joe was like, I get it. I know what's going on. She's trying to hide it from us, but that car was her home.
She was like, this was like her episode to connect. Like, she was like having some lines this episode. I absolutely thought it was like really juicy to bring her out, because we don't get to see half of them act half of the time, because there's so many characters.
Right.
But she definitely connected with this character, and I wasn't invested in this character that much. What she was talking about and the issues that she was talking about. It is sad, you know, if you lost everything. You know, there was a fire in your house and you lost everything.
Yeah, no,
you
I get
sad?
It. I get it. Yeah, I'm sad about the whole thing.
Why are you
and
laughing?
She's all by herself. It didn't seem like she had any friends or family. And she was really, I just felt like she was all alone.
Who
she
were those
was?
People in Polos
then? That found her.
Really?
So that's why I was happy.
And those were her friends?
No, I don't think those were her friends. I think they were just people that found her.
They said, like, we found her on the side of the road.
So I think they came back to kind of see how she
Okay, I'm sorry. Through. Now that's awkward because she wakes up her polo friends. Why are they all wearing the same shirt?
They're not at work or they're outside of the work.
Her polo friends come in and she's like, shh, stop. My friends are here. Hey, guys. Like, that's going to be your new family.
But I don't know. I cried a little bit emotionally at that part because it was just nice that she finally had somebody.
Star's like, blah, blah, blah. What about the part whenever they cut her open and blood exploded all over her?
Oh, my God. I just want to make sure this is the right patient. I love how they just kind of, like, brushed over that and went to commercial break. I was like, why? That's all I get? Like, that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous and amazing.
And her eye was totally swollen shut.
Loved it.
I wonder how many bags of, like, fake blood they go through on this show and episode.
I've heard in Quentin Tarantino movies, they're literally just, like, pouring buckets on him. He'll come around and look and be like, five more buckets! It's never enough for him.
It's never enough. No, but Hunt had his moment in this episode, too, because he got to show that he's a vet and he can make it, too. And, you know, what Jason would say is, he's choked out people, like, yang.
Yeah.
But, you know, like...
Well, see, the thing about that moment to me felt more public service announcement-y than any of the rest of the show combined.
Here's a pamphlet.
Seriously, you did what you could. That struck a chord with me, honestly, though. Because not everybody can serve in the military in the same capacity.
Yeah.
But some people, you know, my grandfather served in the war.
Grandfather. I love that.
I'm sorry, did I have an accent on accent?
Grandfather.
My grandpa, Billy Sully, was a typist in the war. So he was a decorated veteran, but he still was just a typist the entire time. But yes, served his country.
So is that a thing? People get, like, not reprimanded is the wrong word, but... Is there, like, clout and all that?
I would imagine. I mean...
You were at a desk.
Yeah.
You know, like, does that happen?
If you're a veteran, you're a veteran. And then at your funeral, you're buried with honors. Yeah. You know, they have the triangle flag and all of the guns.
Well, I think it's great that there's resources for her. It was interesting, and I know that people are strong, and they want to do it on their own, and they, you know... They want to have a sense of pride. You
and
know?
She didn't feel like she did enough in the war to
And I think she felt like there
help.
Was more.
Yeah.
There was way more people that needed it more.
Yeah. And of course, we all need some help in life, veteran or not, but sometimes it's hard to just, you know.
Right.
Go for it, you know, because you need a hand.
There's like a super wide spectrum of relying on the system and taking advantage of it. And then, you know, not living in your car after you served your country.
Yeah.
Get in an apartment, girlfriend.
She can afford it.
Yeah. I lost my husband. I lost my job. I lost
You weren't filling this character.
Okay,
The fans are going to be after you.
Please don't, guys. I was feeling this character. I sure was. I'm telling you, it's not that I wasn't feeling this character. It was that I felt this entire episode was odd.
Yeah.
It was a little
like,
odd.
Like, it was smiling at my face, but it wasn't really happy to see me.
And then we had the like health PSA with the guy who just thought he
had you see what I'm saying? It was PSA. But I really did. I liked that living in your car is a tragedy. I'm happy that she met Hunt. I'm happy she has polo shirt friends. Moving on.
We all need polo shirt friends.
Yeah, so that big guy comes in.
Yeah, he's in a rush. He's in a rush. He's got things to do. He's got to pick up his kid. He like names off a list, which I thought was really cute for his character.
We've all got things to do.
Yeah, we all got things to do. He's like, it hurts when I swallow, but that's not no biggie. I have heartburn. Like, no, you don't. Like, it sounds like a lot.
Do you go to the hospital for heartburn? Is that
I think
thing?
If it's bad enough, it can burn a hole in your esophagus.
Yeah, I mean, when there's like little symptoms, you got to take care of it, guys, because it can turn into big systems.
That's like an urgent
Listen,
care thing.
Another PSA happened right here on the panel.
Seriously. So he comes in, and then this was another odd part about tonight's episode. Bailey and Ben walking around like a little superhero team.
Like, we're married, but not really. We never see them together.
And Bailey really took some steps back with that hair tonight.
The wig needed to be pulled forward, right?
It was just like, short bangs.
It's no one... Is no one looking at them before they start shooting? Thinking,
no, I know there are.
I should fix that.
Maybe they wanted it to look that way.
Yeah.
She looked great a few episodes. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
Like, you know, Bailey would wear a wig because she's a surgeon and doesn't have time. So we're going to make
I don't have a problem with the wig. No, I have a problem with, like, the kindergartner got to some scissors
maybe
bangs.
Maybe they're like, we want it to look like she's busy all the time. That was
That's
just
a hot
weird.
Mess busy. Like,
She's Taylor. She is a hot mess busy.
So they, like, teamed up together, and they were this husband and wife, you know, powerhouse couple operating on the sky, and they discover, unfortunately, bro, it's not just heartburn because you've been eating so much crap and your cholesterol is so high you've developed a throat tumor.
Right.
So
sad. And the throat tumor looked huge, which I loved going through the throat, through that whole part. I wanted more blood, but that's okay.
I actually just didn't know it was a tumor. I don't really know what to look for during endoscopy.
Me neither, but it was exciting.
But they pointed it out. Yeah, so they come in and they tell him, no, honey, I told you, you shouldn't eat so many burgers.
But what's so funny is parallel to that story, you've got them also fighting about, like, where were you at breakfast? You should have had a healthy meal. Like, you know, as a couple, they were...
Was it a healthy meal or just a meal? Because then he handed her a donut.
Right?
Yeah.
And I just feel like the stories were parallel, but, like, they've got some issues to work on, and she needs to work out more. Because 30 minutes, she ran a mile.
That was so...
A half a mile.
Honestly, that was one of my favorite scenes of the whole season.
It was cute.
Bailey decides to go running because she has this patient who didn't take care of his body and could die.
Right.
And so she sees Maggie out, and Maggie's like...
She's like an upper runner.
Oh, yeah. Remember we talked about this before? Maggie, yeah. When she's running, is like, hey, Mom. I'm on mile 24. What are you doing?
Not even out of breath.
Yeah, I don't understand how people do that. I was working out yesterday trying to talk to my trainer, and I couldn't even get words out. I was like, and yeah.
You're like, don't try to be sexy.
I wasn't even running, and it had been like 20 seconds.
Get your butt over to Equinox. Leave this 24-hour fitness for the people that need it.
Right?
So Bailey decides to run. She pulls a bunch of muscles or something. This was hilarious.
She's just sore.
She's just limping around. And then that moment where her husband's like, where were you? Oh, she was jogging. That look that he gave her that you just have for your spouse, being like, you're trying to pretend you work out. You're trying to pretend you jog.
Yeah, because we haven't seen you jog all year. Like, at all.
We've been married 365 days this year and several years, and then never seen you jog.
Which is crazy.
So they decide to get in better shape. And I don't actually remember what happened with this patient.
So he goes through the cancer. He thought it was acid reflux, and then
they do the surgery. But did he make it?
Then he died.
He died.
It was a flash forward.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I didn't get it. What were they doing?
It was
why were you putting flash forwards in black and white?
I think they were trying a new editing thing because of the way that they were doing it was their key gets into trouble in the operating room, and then they flash forward to the black and white, and then it kind of faded into color, so you could see that it was
that it really did happen.
Well, let me be on the record and say, no, it did not work. Stop doing that.
I agree with you, but...
I think that's why I was confused, because I was thinking, I didn't know if that was a black and white flash forward of, you know, Christmas future.
Of Christmas past.
Like what could happen.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
That's so I was confused just in that scene. I got it eventually, but did he live or did he not? Or could that be what happened if he didn't start eating better? Something like that. But no, he really died.
Yeah, he died.
Okay. It was supposed to be heartburn. Okay, I remember that.
And then that one struck a chord with me too, because then my dog died of throat cancer, so I was like,
oh, well, so honestly, we all should take care of ourselves. It's a very serious thing.
She's very healthy.
PSA number two on the panel.
Hey, it's just because the show did it. The show did it first. We agree with Grey's Anatomy that you should take care of your body and keep your cholesterol down.
There you go.
And all those other things she listed when she was reading a lot of things. Your blood sugar and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so she's, like, pretty... Her health is not that great. No. You know, is what she finds out. She runs her own scans on herself, and Bailey's realizing, like, wait, maybe I need to take care of myself and my fake child that's never on the show, and my husband, because we want to be together forever.
But so her husband's in super good shape.
Right? And he looks like he never goes to the gym either.
I feel like we have seen him work out before.
Have we? I don't know. I don't remember if we had.
Yeah, that storyline's blasé. I'm over that.
No, I don't. I like them together.
You do?
I don't know.
I don't really have any feelings towards them at all. I'm not connected anymore, but I'm not like, I don't like them. I'm just like, hey, yeah.
He doesn't seem very genuine, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
They're not compatible. Like, they just don't look like they would be with the like each other. Like, I just...
She can't have another failed marriage, though. For Bailey...
I just never got the connection from the beginning. When they were selling these two characters to be together, it was never going to be him. Her ex-husband, I thought they were a really great match together.
Tucker.
Mm-hmm. I thought that, like, the chemistry was there. I was a little bit more invested. I'm not invested with
Ben. You know what really would have brought it home for me? Is if they had showed her... like playing with her child or something.
Yeah.
And realizing I want to be around for him.
Or running with him next to his bike.
Something like that. Like, I need to be around for my kids. I need to take care of myself and my family. But they probably would have had to recast him because it's been six seasons since we've even seen the little guy.
Yeah.
And he's got to be like 12. Or
yeah. He's like graduated college.
He's at least 10, I think. Because she was pregnant in what, season two?
I don't remember.
He's got to be like 10.
I do remember that George delivered the baby, though, so it was a long time ago.
Oh, my goodness.
So another thing that was kind of odd is Derek decided to play the father-daughter matchmaker.
No, he was like the peacemaker, like straight up the whole episode. Like he was like took on the role. Yeah. It was really cute, though.
His heart was in the right place, though. He just wants Meredith to have the same family experience that he had.
I have a big family, and it was crazy, and I want that for you, Mayor.
I want you to feel crazy.
He's like, plus Zola needs more black people in the family.
Right? I thought that was a really cute line, but I'm sure there's going to be some flack on that, right?
Why?
I don't know.
People
are crazy.
Coming from Derek, I could see how someone would be offended.
I'm not. I think it was cute, because it's true. You don't want to have, like, her hair looking crazy. It's hard to keep up with this texture of hair, and they've got to learn. Yeah. They got to take some classes, but it would be nice to.
And how much.
For her to have an auntie.
How great of bonding would that be with Auntie Maggie?
Right?
Seriously.
Just braiding her hair, showing her how to do it, because Meredith doesn't even know how to do her own hair sometimes.
Well, she starts with the bun, and that's it.
I thought that was cute. I did think it was weird how he was planning this dinner, though. He's like secretly sneaking. Does he know that's the father?
Yes.
Okay. So he's just trying to push them together to develop a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was nice that he started with Maggie and wanted them to get a relationship. But then he realized that, what's his name? Weber. When Weber came in and he was talking to Maggie, they have this tension between the two of them. And he wants that to be over with. And that was a nice gesture as a friend for Derek to step in and have Maggie and Weber try to become friends.
But you should have tried to develop a relationship between Maggie and Meredith first. Because they don't really have a relationship
one
either.
One step at a time.
I have mom's journals. Thanks, awkward.
Dr. Gray.
Make them sisters first before you try to restore her relationship with her birth father at the same dinner.
Yeah, that was a little over the top.
He was trying to do like two birds, one stone.
I guess.
He didn't want to make more pot roast.
Derek was in a strange mood tonight, and I guess it's nicer than angsty, I'm mad at everyone, Derek. He was a little bit embracing the role that we wanted him to.
Yeah.
He was, you stuck around for your family, you know, be proud of that and own it. Uh-huh. And he sort of was this episode. So,
I liked him this episode. I thought he was adorable.
And, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that, at IMH17 said that Derek finally got that cheeseburger, LOL. Which is true. They
finally came
together because, you know, Derek at the beginning was stopping Meredith from fighting with her. Because with him. Meredith was just on a rage, was just fighting with him and finding every excuse in the book to just be completely upset. Which is kind of like, we're over that, Meredith. Like, we're moving on. So it was just great that they finally had that connection moment in the kitchen and was like, I need to take a shower too, Daddy.
It has been a long time since those two have been hot on screen together.
Right?
Checkmate.
Right?
Makeup shower fun. Yeah, you know what? That it hit the nail on the head. It reminded me why those two are a great couple together.
Yeah. I thought, though, it's a little weird that he considers Richard a friend, and then he told Meredith later that he's practically her father. That's strange when you put it that way.
It is strange when you put it that way, but totally think it's fine.
So they're in the shower having fun, and we completely support this moment. Long, long needed. They had a little moment where they almost had a fight, and they brought it back in. That's how it works in marriage. But, so they show up at the same time, of course. Maggie and Weber. And Maggie's weird again, of course.
I totally thought that they were going to just pop that bottle of wine open and the cookies or the pie or whatever he brought on the porch and bond. That would have been a great scene.
About AA? Oh, I'm an alcoholic. Okay. Richard. he couldn't just say no, thank you.
Right? I love how he blurted that out. I brought wine. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Because he's nervous, and, like, she's, like, making him nervous, and she is over the top with her feelings that she's not even letting him in. You know, like, he was trying to have that moment, like, you're my daughter and I missed out. And she was like, I don't need you. I already have a dad.
Yeah.
The part that I'm mad about is that you allowed me to walk around and confide into you. And
here's what I don't get, though. She's holding this long grudge because he had information that he didn't share with her when she did the same thing to Meredith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like no one is calling her out on that.
I think that she just feels betrayed.
I am, Maggie.
No, we've been saying that. I'm with you, girl.
I think she just feels betrayed because she confided so much in him, whereas, like, Meredith wasn't walking around going, oh, I think I might have a sister somewhere out there. And Maggie's
true.
Like, do you? Really? Wow.
Okay, maybe.
So he had so many opportunities, and he never did it. And then,
why does Maggie want to have a relationship with her biological sister, but she doesn't want to have a relationship with her biological father? It makes no sense to me that she would just be willing to be friends with Meredith and just brush Weber off.
Yeah. And it sounds like she's, like, trying to get to know who her mom was. It's like, she's the one that put you up for adoption and didn't tell your real dad, you know? So, and I feel like she's trying to get to know them and get to know Mom and get to know Meredith, but not wanting to get to know Weber, which I feel like is ridiculous. And her overacting is, I'm done with her ending monologues the last few episodes of her being
I'm
mad.
Done I'm with her
it.
Just walking off when people are talking to
right?
her.
Right, rude.
Girl, we know you can run.
Rude.
Not necessary in this moment.
Rude.
Stay put and listen.
Love it. Yeah.
So that was okay. I'm not disliking Maggie. I really value her as a doctor in the hospital.
Okay.
I think that she brings a lot to the surgical table. It's just this one specific communication tactic that she has gets under my skin.
Well, you know, people were speculating that there's maybe different things wrong with her. What was it? Like autism? No, what was it?
Asperger's, maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Really?
People were saying that on Twitter.
I don't think so.
Happening. Maybe she's going to have the Alzheimer's gene. Maybe that's going to happen. Who knows? But.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So then also, tonight, we really did not get much and follow up from last week. So last week, of course, the big Calzona split. We hardly see Callie.
Yeah.
They had this little moment together where she's like, I didn't ask you to leave. I didn't ask you to live in your car, even though she was living in the hospital.
Yeah, she was living in the hospital.
Still, the theme. So she, but it mostly centered on Arizona's new job.
That's true.
She's trying to rebuild her life, which is fair. After her breakup, she needs something to focus on.
Yeah.
But she makes a good point.
Yeah.
I focused on work and everything else but my relationship, so this has to work. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, like, I made it my priority, so I have to make this work.
She just doesn't seem happy. I mean, I know she just broke up with her wife, but professionally, she doesn't seem happy.
Of course she's not when someone's, like, barking down you. Like, that's not my exact words that I use.
Yeah, Gina Davis was being psychotic. And, of course, we found out why later, but I really didn't think this was going this way.
No.
Every part of me thought Gina Davis was going to get rid of Arizona and Karev was going to take over.
Well, even before that, we were all kind of saying that, like, she's just a powerhouse. You know what I mean? And I feel like she's going to, like, I don't know. Never mind.
She was being like, did you study my words? My words, exactly. It was just a very dramatic scene.
You're right.
But she wrote it down. It's not like it's not written down. She was so concerned about that at the end when she was saying, oh, I have a brain tumor and I'm going to die. She was so concerned during that episode. You didn't remember them exactly. Well, she has them in the notebook.
Yeah, I think that's her
thing.
It's
a little over the top.
Yeah, that was the big reveal at the end of the episode. Oh, shocking. Somebody that comes on to Grace this season is going to die. That's why we write them in, people.
That's exactly what we said earlier. That's what I was trying to say. We were loving her character. At the beginning of this episode, we were like, we're glad she's on the show.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we said at the beginning of this episode. And then towards the end, we were like, oh my god, she got psychotic. She got crazy. She might have to go. Like,
and she will. Yeah, so she's got an inoperable brain tumor. She has
Derek's
6 months
operate,
to live.
Though. We
oh,
know
you
he
think?
Is. Ooh. Oh, come on. Who operates on more inoperable brain tumors than Derek?
It's
That's
a good
true.
Point.
That's
it's
true.
A good point. But she is realizing that the field is new, fetal surgery. She's one of the only people in the entire world that can do it. She doesn't want to spend any more time.
Well, there's like six people west of the of the Mississippi.
She wants
that can
to
do
transfer
it.
On her knowledge to Arizona.
Right.
And so that's why she's being so nitpicky about every little word.
What happened to what's his face?
What?
The other Pink Scrubs.
Yeah, Pink Scrubs. What happened to him?
He did that?
No, the other intern, not or whatever, the other fellowship guy. Remember
what
from
was
last
his name?
Episode?
Are we talking about Joe's abusive boyfriend?
No.
Oh, he was Pink Scrubs back then. We were calling him Pink Scrubs.
There was she had another Arizona was with another fellow with Dr. Herman.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
And she kept letting him do stuff.
The madman guy.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what happened to him?
So she's so concerned about Arizona. You've got two. It's okay.
Right? Still, and he wasn't even on the episode this week.
Yeah. Still, she was just, like, laying into Arizona. And for me, that scene, whenever they opened up the mom and the little baby hand, it was hilarious. All three of us had completely different reactions.
Right?
I'm like, aww. Kristen's like, ugh. What'd you do?
Yes.
She's like, yes. No, she was like, cool.
Yeah. She's like, cut her open.
We did it in the line, too. I was like, ew. And you're like, oh. And she's like, cool.
What did you guys think? Please let us know. I can't be the only one who thinks it's beautiful that they can operate on fetuses now.
Yeah. So let us know on the hashtag GraysABTV. Don't forget to use that. As well as rate us 5 stars on iTunes. And don't forget to continue to, you know, work it out on those YouTube comments. I love our fans. They're fun, they have an opinion, and they're strong-minded, which is great.
So this is not necessarily a prediction. It's just going to go into that territory a little bit. Kristen said this a couple of weeks ago that she thought that Callie might be getting together with Owen.
Yeah, and then the fans were like, I don't think it's going to be Owen.
Someone said because Christina was with Owen and Christina and Callie were friends.
No, but that's not why.
I
think it's all about the children. These two characters, particularly him, for several seasons now has wanted children.
Yeah.
That is her thing right now, wants kids.
Yeah. What were they saying? No, they were saying something else like, who else is single?
And not that I think they'd make a good couple.
There's not a lot of single guys.
I just really feel like the writers have been building us up to this for several seasons with all these different arcs. Like, these two characters both want kids.
Yeah, but some of the fans were saying in the flashback back when, if Christina was going to choose to stay, what would really happen? And they weren't together. Someone was with Owen.
Gosh, there was that episode.
Owen was with...
Oh my gosh. Our fans told us like a couple weeks ago, but now I won't be able to find it.
I am completely remembering that now, right?
Like, yeah. They had a lot of kids and he was with someone else. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But
I don't know if she was someone. I think she was just a nurse or she was a former doctor, I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh. We gotta look that one up.
Christina showed up somewhere at like Owen's kid's birthday, and I feel like I remember someone asking her about her taking a step back from surgery to focus on the kids.
Kids. Yeah, but who was she with? Oh my goodness, it's
you
gonna rock our
brain.
You know
what is crazy about
the
show?
I remember that line, but nothing else.
They have been around so long, and they have such a loyal fan base that they just experiment with stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, let's do a multi-one where we show what could happen to Christina in this way, or it could happen to Christina in this way. You know what we should try this episode? Black and white future forward flashbacks. Yeah. Grades of future past.
Yeah, that was crazy. The editing.
I feel like Callie, though, she doesn't have, there's not a lot of single people on the show that she...
You know what we need? Some single man candy.
Yes.
So we need more men.
We need another mixed steamy.
I know.
Right? I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And I liked Shane, but he was such a weird little quirk. We need a gorgeous, yeah.
Where did Shane go? Oh, with
Shane,
Christina.
Every week we say, where did Shane go?
Shane?
Every week we're like, wasn't there 5 interns?
Right? Yeah.
So I think that sums up this strange episode. I guess good. It had its moments.
It was a filler. Because we're getting close towards the end now before we go on that holiday break. And I feel like we've been pushing forward with a lot of different stories and storylines and Maggie, mm-hmm. and we've been developing that. And I feel like this week was that in-between week before we start moving on to something else that could be good and juicy. And I hope that's what it's going to be. So we'll see.
This week, to me, and maybe more than any in 11 seasons, made me feel like I've kind of seen this before.
Nope. It's repeating itself.
Not that I don't love the show. Not that I won't watch every second of it for the remainder of its life.
Yeah.
It just like felt a tiny bit regurgitated, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, the patient stories.
Yeah, there's only so many medical things that can happen. So, I mean, some of them are bound to kind of overlap. And then there's also only so many people that can break up and get with new people.
Yeah.
That's true.
We need some fresh meat.
Yeah.
I do love the fetal surgeries. That's a fantastic place to take it. That's on the forefront of medicine in real life and on the show.
Right.
And I think this will give Arizona just, you know, a newfound... She had a strange reaction. I don't know how I feel about this. Get on board, girl.
Yeah.
Get on board.
Because, you know... Yeah, I just feel like she doesn't want to ethically go on the wrong path. Now that she's moving on from her relationship, she doesn't want to jump into something that's going to either hurt her career.
Why would it ethically be wrong?
Because she's operating on people with a brain tumor, and the tumor, I'm sure, is why she had that freak out, because usually that happens. It's working with your brain.
You're right.
And she's doing surgery on fetal things, and she might have a moment.
Now that you say that, Star, that is a bummer.
So it's like...
But maybe that's why Arizona will be like, well, fine, we can operate as long as I'm always there, because if she were to freak out, I mean, Arizona doesn't have the full skill set, but at least she has a surgeon's skill set.
Yeah, I wouldn't
that
want...
she could take over if something crazy happened.
But I don't want her to die off the show. I mean, she's feisty, and I was getting a little like, oh, if we go a couple more episodes with too much feisty and no explanation, it would be annoying. But in the end, like, I just felt like I don't want her to die. I liked her character. Yeah. Like, I feel a little bit more invested into her.
I don't want her to die either. I feel like we've kind of been there before with brain tumors.
I was just saying earlier in this episode, I really like her. I like her energy, and I like that she is professional.
She's weird, though. You forgot every word. Every word.
No, yeah. I think that was her tumor talking. I think that was her tumor. I don't know, but I think that was her tumor talking. No?
I think it was just she wants her legacy to live on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wants
to make a name before she goes.
And I think she wants it to be like, if I die and you have to do a surgery, I want you to read every word. I want you to know there's 50% chance that there will be heart failure. She just like wants that. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's crazy.
I don't know. It was sad.
It was sad.
But at the same time, like, give me a minute to fall in love with the character before you tell me he's going to die.
Yeah.
Right? Come on. Although, for like a really long part of this, I thought something was going to happen to April's mom, so that was a relief.
Oh, all episode? Really?
Well, somebody gave a spoiler that there was a big, like, dramatic thing at the end.
Yeah, and I thought...
So that's what I was waiting for.
So the spoiler was Gina Davis is going to die.
Yeah.
That's what I've been waiting for all day. I don't want her to die, but that wasn't the big kabang, you know?
That was the big kabang.
Okay.
That last scene with Alex and Joe, where Joe had her freak out
I forgot about that.
Oh, I don't have a place to live. I live at your house, and I live in your bed. I felt like she was freaking out a little.
Well, we've known her to be a little clingy. She's been clingy in the past.
No, he proposed. She said no.
I feel like...
What did she want? Do you want a proposal? No. Do you want me to specifically ask you to move in here? Sure. I don't know. What do you want, Joe?
Yeah,
because she was saying that he never asked her to move in, she just crashes there. Well, then make it official. It's not that hard.
Yeah, just was going to propose.
Well, they were trying to make it official last year when they were trying to, like, fraternize with the attendees. Remember when all that was happening and he had to sign that paper that they can be in this relationship?
Yes.
And did he not step forward? I can't remember. Either way, their relationship is always up and down, but everyone knows about them. And yes, they're, you know, I feel like the patient story with the girl living in her car was the reason why all this came about.
Yeah.
And I just feel like he was, like, confused and looking fine as can be.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there. Like, he looked like he lost a couple pounds.
Karev got his groove back.
Karev was looking...
Anyways. Welcome back from private practice, Mr. Karev.
Karev.
Doctor.
Anyways, head of ortho or peds or whatever. Anyways, long story is, I just feel like, I don't even know what I was talking about, but I love the show.
Honestly, I relate to Joe in needing a place to call home.
Oh, Joe. Yeah.
No, yeah,
That is a deep need that people have. And I move way too much.
Me too.
Something like 15 times in 10 years.
Whoa.
It's insane. So really, it's hard when you feel displaced. I get that for her.
Yeah. I mean, she's been homeless, she's been dumpster diving, been up and down with relationships.
Yeah, it's like she has a serious relationship in Alex now, she has a place to call home. So I was a little bit, I get her freak out, but I was a little bit concerned because if you don't feel okay about not having a place, then get an apartment. But you're going to stay at Alex's every night anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just need to go ahead and move in together, and it was a little odd of a scene.
The way that he could have settled that is... Let's make it official. Will you move in with me?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe it would have brought up feelings in him about proposing and her saying no.
Yeah, and I think she's also kind of got her pride where she doesn't want to take anything that she doesn't earn. Mm-hmm. But he owns a house. Move in. Just do it. It's fine.
And he's got a lot of money. Yeah. And you were excited about that money a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right? She was all like, woo!
Yeah.
We got a Ferrari or whatever car he was driving.
Yeah, so let's move on to predictions. Does anyone have
and
any?
Now, you're After Buzz TV.
Sorry, AfterBuzz God, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Does anyone have any burning predictions?
I do.
Go for it.
I predict that somewhere down the line, this is going to be a long time coming, but I think that Maggie and Richard are going to eventually kind of make up and form a bond over something's going to happen that bonds them together. And then I think her parents are going to show up to surprise her because we know how insane they are. And I think that that's going to be a lot of tension. That's my prediction.
Absolutely.
That's going to happen.
I didn't think of it before you mentioned it, but I could not agree more. We are going to see Maggie's adoptive parents.
Yeah, of course. It's a great storyline just waiting to be picked up.
Just get there.
Yeah.
Any others?
I think I'm good.
Okay.
I think I'm good. What's happening next week on that? What was the preview for next week's episode?
Shepherd versus Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Amy's back.
Mm. It looks
I love Amy. She's a little annoying, but I love her.
She is a little annoying, but you know what? She brings a spice that they need right now.
This
episode was lacking spice.
I like her energy.
Gina Davis brought a little bit of spice.
Yeah, so they basically showed that maybe
he's trying to displace her as the head of Neuro.
Which is kind of going to maybe knock her off the show because she would hate working there. Are they going to boot her off? I mean, that's a part of my prediction. Not sure.
I feel like they're not going to boot her off, but I think that that's going to cause issues. Because I think they know she's a good character. She's kind of one of the characters that I think the show needs right now.
She's one of the only ones anyone liked from Private Practice.
Yeah.
Really? See, I didn't watch that show. So,
I mean,
she's a little like odd in this show, and they haven't really made us like her in this show just yet, but in the end, I do like her, because she's spunky, and she's in the right place at the right time most of the time, especially with the whole Maggie. And
she's single. Weber. We need some more single people for some relationships.
Yeah. I don't really know what's going to happen. I just know that it better get good.
I'm going to stick with what I said earlier, and I'm stealing it from her, but I really do see an Owen Callie thing coming in the future. Arizona is going to agree to this secret training, even though she knows the lady's going to die.
Yes.
And I need a shakeup. We need a shakeup.
Yeah, we need something good.
Everything's tidily in his place. Right about time for the shakeup. Mid-season shakeup.
No Meredith Derek shakeup.
No, they were finally...
Yeah, they're good.
And their cheeseburgers.
Let's put those two back in their wedded bliss shower where they belong.
Right?
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Please join the conversation on YouTube and Twitter and iTunes. Don't forget about that one. We love us some 5 stars.
That's right.
I'm Julie Parton. You can find me on all the social medias at JULIEPARTIN.
And I'm Star Session, and you can find me at STARR.
I'm Kristen Strange, and you can find me at Kristen Strange.
And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
I only spilled half.
I know.
Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.